Good morning. We're doing the laws of Shabbos. We had begun the laws of baking and cooking last night. We discussed the prohibition of baking and cooking on Shabbos, and that irrespective of whether you're going to bake, cook, roast, or fry, it is biblically prohibited on Shabbos to use the heat of a fire or its derivatives. So we gave an example, what would be called toladat ha'esh, a derivative of the fire. So let's say I boiled a pot on the fire, and then I have a pot of boiling water. I take it off the fire, and on Shabbos I want to put in an egg. So that's biblically prohibited. I'm cooking the egg, but I'm not cooking on the fire. The pot's off the fire already. Doesn't matter. That's called toladata, or a derivative of the fire. That's also biblically prohibited. We discussed magus. We discussed if you encounter your chulent that's not fully cooked, and now you're going to start mixing it. And then because you're mixing it, it's going to cook more speedily or more evenly. That's another biblical prohibition to do something that is supportive of cooking. And we will expand on magus down the road. Shi'ul bishul. We're up to the shear, the measurement of cooking. Just as with regards to all other tasks of Shabbos, that you're only chayav when you concluded the task, ken bebishul and mitchayvin shenigmaram b'necha. The same is true with cooking. You won't be obligated till you conclude the task. Manikra gmar hamlacha b'mlechet bishul. So what's called concluding the task when it comes to cooking? So you take a pot and you put it on the fire. That's the act for which you're going to be chayav. But what happens if you remove it from the fire after 10 seconds? You didn't cook anything yet. So then you've undone your act. You're not chayav on bishul. Remember, we said the same thing with planting. If you throw a seed into the ground and pick it out of the ground before that seed could, so then you undid your action and you've undone the melacha doraisa of planting. So how much does it have to cook in order for a person to have transgressed biblically, for him to have done the iser? When you cook it to the point that it is now edible. Nonetheless, we have a tradition. That you don't have to wait for it to complete cooking to the degree that the average person would choose that dish and say, that's a delicious dish. It's enough that you've cooked it to the point where people would eat it under duress. Where in a tight circumstance, people would consider that edible. Meaning it's something that only a few people would like it that way. If people were in a rush, so they would eat it that way. You know, it happens in every house. You want to eat from the chul on Friday night. But that can be very challenging, because if it's not fully cooked, then you wouldn't be permitted to put the lid back on or to put it back on the hot plate, etc. Nikra gam ken mevushal lechayev lav b'Shabbat. But that's enough cooking to obligate a person on Shabbos. V'lshon Chazal nikra zeh shemevushal k'shiur machal ben derusai. So he says in Chazal's terminology, we call that type of cooking, where it's only cooked enough that under duress a person would eat it, that's called Michael Ben Derusoi. Ben Derusoi was a gangster, and he was always on the run, because his life was always on the line. So he never had time to wait for his food to fully cook. He would always eat it when it was cooked a third of the way or halfway there. So that's called cooking it to the minimum level, to the minimum degree, Michael Ben Drusoy, cooking it to the point where it's minimally cooked. So once it's cooked to the point where there are people who would eat it at that state, with regards to the laws of Shabbos, that would be considered that a person already transgressed. And here he quotes the argument I just alluded to as to whether Michael Ben Drusoy is a third of the way cooked or half the way cooked. And so we're stringent in that. We're going to see that Michael Ben Drusoy has applications both for stringency and for leniency. What we just saw now is a stringency. That if you put something on the fire, once it's cooked even a third of the way, one has biblically transgressed. Next, we go to the term in halacha called Yad Soledes. Yad Soledes, which literally means the hand would cringe, the hand would draw itself back in reaction. Av shekatavnu shein kan chiyuv bebishul ad sheyitaken ha'ochel al yedei ha'bishul she'ereich ro'i la'achila. Even though the general rule we just described is that bishul is defined by preparing the food, bringing it to its edible state. Vekol shelo higia l'shiur zein kan chiyuv. So long as one has not attained that level by cooking, so then there's no obligation. Mikol makom kvar matchil ha'isur mishash migel l'chom shel yad soledet. Nonetheless, the biblical prohibition begins from the time that we've raised the temperature to what's called yad soledes, to the point where one would draw his hand back out of pain. Yesh omrim sheshiuro kechom arba'im. Some say that's 40 degrees centigrade, which is 104 Fahrenheit. You guys are going to have to know that when you check your kid's temperature. 40 is when it starts getting serious, right? 40 is 104 Fahrenheit. Just as an aside, it's an easy Excel document that I made, the conversion of Fahrenheit to Celsius, which you might want to do at home. If here in Israel, times 9/5 plus 32. That's great, so long as you remember that. And sometimes when you're checking your kid's temperature, you're not remembering that. And when you have to do 40.5 times 9/5 on Shabbos, you might not remember how to do that. And if you have 41.6 and you want to know, is that a serious fever or not, and the numbers don't make sense to you, you cannot figure, well, if 40 is 104, then 41 must be 105. No, it jumps at, it's almost double. At any rate, so that's why it's not a bad idea when you'll have kids and you'll be taking temperature with Israeli thermometers that have the centigrade, to have this type of chart up so you know what the temperature is. If to you what speaks is Fahrenheit. So back to our halacha. So we're trying to figure out what is Yad Soledet. Yesh sovrim shekol zman shelo hagiya lechom shel mashkim chamim, shehem chamim kol kach shekvar enam ruim leshtiya bevat achat mitzad chamimutam, v'tzrichim nafsik ben legima lelegima. Others want to say, what's Yad Soledet? When it reaches a temperature that you won't drink it all at once, where you have to pause in between sips. As adayin lo hagiya lechom shel yad soledet bo. So long as you could drink it all at once, that's not yad soledet bo. That's another way of gauging it that people want to suggest. Now, I will try to remember, if you could remind me at the end of class to write a note for this, I'll try to remember on Sunday to bring a food thermometer, and then we can experiment. We can actually take boiling water and taste it and see. There's a famous responsa where they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein whether a person needs dentures for milchik and fleishik. Can you use the same dentures to drink your hot coffee with milk? If you're going to make a cappuccino, cafe a fou, where you actually boil the milk is not cooling down the coffee, on the contrary, the milk is part of the hot coffee. So now you're drinking boiling hot milk. So I would like to expand on Yad Soledes Bo, because he really only said one paragraph, and I think we should be more familiar with the term. So Yad Soledes Bo actually comes to play in many areas of halacha. Our assumption is that so long as a liquid did not reach the heat of Yad Soledes Bo, that liquid will not absorb, will not cause taste to be given out, or will not inflict its taste on a vessel. So Yad Soledes Bo is very important. Let's say you're at home and you wash the dishes, and you wash the milchik dishes, and there was a piece of meat that suddenly got caught onto a dish because your sink wasn't completely clean, and you want to know, what do I do about it? So if the water coming out of the tap was less than Yad Soledes Bo, then that piece of meat shouldn't have inflicted its flavor onto anything. The only time that we have cold things giving flavor, is when we have either something sharp involved, like onion or garlic. If I cut onion or garlic with a fleishik knife, even though everything's cold, they absorb the flavor from the knife. That's why we keep a pair of knives at home, so that we can cut the onion, the garlic, the lemon. We cut those things with a pair of knives on a pair of cutting board. Sharp fruits. Fruits or vegetables that have a sharp taste. So there, even though they're cold, we have a transfer of flavor. Or if I would fry an onion, or bake an onion, so then there's a transfer of flavor. So sharp foods cause the transfer of flavor even under cold circumstance. So that's number one. And number two is the concept of kavush. If you leave something sitting for a while, that was one of the science experiments I saw last night. If you take an egg and leave it in vinegar, so that egg will become like a ball. Now, I don't understand why, so it's not an educational experiment for me to teach my kids. But at any rate, it was important for me because this is a halachic concept. We have a halachic concept called kavush kimvushal. When you leave something sitting in brine or vinegar, so then the impact is the equivalent of cooking. And that has halachic relevance. We say, let's say you use the same sink for milchik and fleishik. And let's say your drain was stuffed and you weren't paying attention. And so at night you left over, you poured out some sour milk and you didn't realize it was just sitting there. And you had some fleishik dishes there. So if they sat for a 24-hour period in that milk, you have to ask a shayla, but there will be instances where we say the flavor of the milk is absorbed just by sitting in something for a 24-hour period. We generally say that's true for sharp liquids like brine or vinegar, but it can also be, there's an opinion which we take into account, that any liquid, even water, will cause kavush. So we said there are two instances where cold can take out taste or impart taste, and that is through kavush, through sitting within the liquid for a 24-hour period, or when the food is sharp. Other than that, in order for there to be a transfer of flavor, there has to be heat. How much heat? So the minimal heat that has to be there is yad soledesbo, that the hand would cringe. If we have yad soledesbo, then the question begins. If we don't have yad soledesbo, there's no question. The only question would be how to clean it. So let's say someone comes to visit you and they're cleaning the meat with the milk and the milk with the meat, and you know they were doing it with their bare hands, so the water coming out of the tap wasn't yad soledesbo, right? Couldn't have been that hot. So then you can just wipe everything off, make sure there's no residue, no oil left over, and you know that your objects are clean, all your dishes are clean. Okay, so what yad soledesbo is a very important criterion. Before you have yad soledesbo, so long as it's cooler than that, things haven't cooked. Now, yad soledesbo is also a stringency, because on Shabbos, when we say you've cooked a liquid, that's once it reaches yad soledesbo, that counts as having cooked the liquid. So let's say you have a radiator at home, and you want to put on that radiator some baby's milk to warm up the milk. If that milk could reach yad soledesbo, that would be prohibited. Because I understand you want to warm it for the baby, so we're going to discuss other ways to do it. But by heating it up on the radiator, if I placed it on the radiator, which is actually heated by an electric heat element, that's the equivalent of fire, so then I could bring it to Yad Soledesbo, that would be Bishul Doraisa. Same would be if you just wanted to warm up any other liquid, water or something else. So Yad Soledesbo can have a tremendous impact on when something is biblically prohibited, and as such that will also affect that it would be rabbinically prohibited. We may not place food where they can cook on Shabbos. Even though I'll say, I'll take it off in 1 minute. But if you'd leave it there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, would it reach Yad Soledesbo? So then you can't put it there for 2 minutes either. So Yad Soledesbo is very important. Okay, we covered the parameters to a large degree of where Yad Soledes impacts us. Yes?
When it comes to this, it seems like a lot of it's dependent on our taste buds and our senses. That I thought usually with most prohibitions, it's because like when it comes to killing or it comes to sealing, it's not something that depends on how much we would be able to taste it, and how much our hand would be sensitive. It's just like a factor of a yes or a no. Here it's...
Okay, so we have to ask, there's a general question we ask in many places in halacha. What's called, is it a siba or a siman? Is that the cause or is that the indicator? Meaning, yad soledesbo is a certain temperature. the fact that we gauge it based on our feel is not the reasoning. That's not the cause. That's just a sign. That's a way of gauging it.
Is there a general consensus about the temperature?
Yeah, so he brought 40 degrees. There are other opinions. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was a super genius. And just so we understand who he was, as a child, he grew up in such poverty here in Jerusalem that most days he would go without breakfast. He'd be lucky if he got a late lunch. He'd be spending his time learning on an empty stomach. He grew up knowing famine. Here in Jerusalem, if you go back 100 years ago, so there was a tremendous shortage of food. So long as we were under Jordanian rule, they would purposely withhold food. They'd have their blockade. With all the claims they make against us today, what we've undergone at the hands of all our wonderful neighbors is nothing compared to what's going on today. I mean, we had sniper fire purposely mowing down our citizens. That's what it was like living in Jerusalem 60, 70, 80 years ago. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach learned over here nearby in Shchunat Sha'arei Chesed. That's just after Gansakar. And he was very, very, very focused on his learning in spite of the economic hardships he had as a child, that his family had as a child. He learned diligently. And his genius spanned many areas. He wrote a book on electricity, electricity in halacha. But he would comment sometimes that when he's on the bus and the university students are standing next to him, he listens into their experiments because you want to know more about God's world. Why shouldn't you glean from their wisdom? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, one of the great marks of his genius was that whenever he would learn, he would look for the practical application of what he had just learned. So there's a line in Talmud where the Talmud discusses when you slaughter an animal, so does the knife that's slaughtering the animal absorb from the flavor of the animal? Because if it did, then you would be prohibited from using that knife for anything else. And the Talmud says no. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach thought, and he said, that means that the temperature of the animal's blood when you're killing the animal is not yad soledes bo. So then he went and started doing experiments, measuring the temperature of every animal's blood. What's the average temperature? And from that, he proved that yad soledes bo cannot be, if I remember correctly, under 44 degrees centigrade. Meaning Rav Moshe discusses 40. He quoted here 40. There are opinions from 40 that want to say it's yad soledes bo. And he proved that. I don't remember which animal he found, that their temperature is 44 degrees, their average temperature. So he said, you see, from that line in Talmud, you could infer that that 44 is not yet yad soledes bo. That's where you have to start worrying about yad soledes bo. I'm pretty sure that was the measurement. So, from 44, I have no proof whether it's yad soledes bo or not. But he says, I've proved it, that until 44, it's not. So that was one of his brilliant proofs. Yeah. So that will be a leniency and a stringency. Because, remember, once it hits yad soledes bo, so to a certain degree, you've already cooked it. So that gives you certain leniencies on Shabbos. If you brought it to 44 before Shabbos, then going into Shabbos, it's already been cooked. We're going to see that that's not so accurate, but at least you'll see there are angles where it's a stringency, there are angles where it's a leniency. It goes both ways. Okay, so what we define today is that bishul is defined as cooking or baking food, bringing it to the point where it's maichal ben drusoi, where it's edible at least by the gangsters, where it's a third of the way cooked. That's when a person has transgressed biblically. We will still see other applications of the term machal ben drusai. We also learned about the term yad soledet bo, that the hand would cringe, which the Talmud says is, with regards to liquid, that's the level of heat that would constitute cooking the liquid. And we discussed, he brings that the minimum heat for that would be 40 degrees centigrade, 104 Fahrenheit. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's 44 degrees centigrade. But that's the starting point of cooking for a liquid. And we discussed that that's the starting point for when a liquid would absorb flavor or impart its flavor. That's the minimum heat.